is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, that sounded in unison together. We might as well press on with the Lord's work today. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm way ahead of myself already. But man, I'm talking about October. It's gone fall. It's my favorite time of the year. Why? I'm going to tell you why. It's romantic. To me it is. It's cool. The weather's cool. Colors are changing. I know Eric and his family, they went down to Missouri last week. We went the week before to Arkansas, saw beautiful colors changing down there. And that's just so amazing down there. But also right now starts countdown to Christmas with Hallmark movies. And I'm so thankful for that. And my wife said, good grief, are you really going to put that in there? I said, yes, I love Hallmark movies. But I thank you. But I thought, what is it I love about the Hallmark movies? What draws me to them? And I thought, please don't knock my Hallmark movies. My son Spencer does all the time. He says, good grief, there's love found, there's love lost, there's usually a dog involved, some type of animal, and then they come back together and there's the movie. I thought, yeah, so the framework is easy. You just got to fill in the rest of it and fill in the business part of that. You want to know why I love Hallmark? I didn't think so, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay, so Hallmark movies represent a lot of things. To me, they represent our life. They represent our lives in the Bible. And I really had to think about it one day. I thought, why is it I'm sitting there just... I know what's going to happen. Love found, love lost. Usually a dog is involved. And then it goes on from there. Okay, and they rekindle their love. But I thought, what is it? And I thought, that's it. When we know Christ, we have our life. And then we have a newfound love and passion, and it's Jesus Christ when we find Him. And then somewhere along the line, as with the Hallmark movies, there tends to be some confusion, some misunderstanding. And then what happens with a Hallmark movie? Someone's walking away. They're walking away, or they start to distance themselves from that love. Usually, again, from a misunderstanding. I saw them kissing someone. Well, yeah, they were kissing them goodbye and getting them out of their life, but someone didn't slow down to find that out. And that's our life here, and that's the Bible. But the best part is the very end of Hallmark. And what is it? Wait for it. It's redemption. It's reconciliation. It's that union coming back together. And I love that when in the kingdom of God, we can do those things. We find our new love. There may be some misunderstanding. There may be some frustrations that pull us away. But in the end, the work that was done on the cross is redemption and reconciliation and the coming back together to that love. And what a beautiful time that is. There's acceptance, there's forgiving or forgiveness, there's an awakening, there's love. And the title of today's message is Love Conquers. And I want you to listen carefully. Love conquers. And we're going to take a look and see, what does it conquer out there? We're going to find out about that. I saw a sign in Mardell. I was in there the other day shopping, looking for some things. And I saw a sign and I thought that should be our church motto and that should be our personal motto that we walk around with. I can imagine that sign this long hanging on a chain around our neck, much like a cross representing who and what we are, a symbol of our faith. But it said, love is spoken here, joy is chosen here, and grace is given here. Man, what church wouldn't want to emblazon that on their side of their building, on their frosted on the front of their doors, whatever? Who wouldn't want that as a motto as you walk in their church or in their home to see that, but not only to see it, but to experience it? Putting it on paper and in print is one thing. Doing it is another thing for others to experience. And I thought, love is spoken here. That's the word. Joy is chosen here. That's a choice that we have. Grace is given here. That's an action. We have to choose to give grace. So we've got the word, we've got choices, and we have action. Church, that's our faith walk, is it not? That is our faith walk. We can put all we want. We can wear those crosses around our neck all day long. when people are around us, when they come into our church, when they come into our home, when they come into our lives, do they experience that in action? I hope so. You know, Charlotte, you were reading that scripture and it touched me so much. The beauty of this work, the beauty of the work that you do, Jan, the work that you've done, and you've done for so many to pray for them. Rex, don't get mad at me. Rex is in the hallway, and you know what Rex loves to do? Work behind the scenes. Do you know how many behind the scenes people there are to make church happen? But Rex, I appreciate you. He says, I don't want to be acknowledged. Whoops, sorry. And he didn't say it specifically. He didn't know I was going to say anything. But I love people like that. Said, I enjoy working in the background. But don't think for a second that God doesn't see that. I appreciate that. I appreciate what you do. And many of you, and we'd be here all day if I was trying to acknowledge each person and what you've done and the ministry that you do and the work that you've done and put in. But the blessing that you are to me and to Pastor Eric and what we do, man, that can take slumped over shoulders and straighten them up real quick. Love and scripture. Gifts, I was going to say small gifts. That's no small gift. I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I was just saying small gifts of appreciation. But that is a large gift. So please don't misunderstand where I almost was going with that. Our choices, our words, and our actions. Do people experience those? Those three areas, when they're put under God's will, that is kingdom building business right there. When we take those things out and put it under our will, that can minimize kingdom work. When we take our word and use our will to say what we want, that can hurt the kingdom. When we take joy and choose not to experience joy and express joy, that can take away from kingdom work. People say, man, what's the matter with them? I don't know, they're Christian. No, we can't be like that. Now, I'm not saying we need to fake it all the time, but there's an inner joy that can come through regardless of what we are going through. And then if we choose under our own will not to give people grace and mercy and forgiveness, that takes away from kingdom business. I'm so thankful for this church body. I'm so thankful for this church building and this property that we have that God has entrusted us to. And yes, He's entrusted Eric and I to lead it, but He's entrusted you all with it as well, to further it. I thought about this and I thought, this wasn't Eric and I coming up with this idea. This was one of our members saying, hey, I'd like to do this to bless someone. That's the church. The shoe boxes, man, we're going to want to buy a few toys for someone. You have no idea the message that goes with each one of those shoe boxes. Yeah, in theory, it's a box full of toys and useful items. But there's a message that is delivered with every one of those boxes. And it's about the love of Jesus Christ. Love conquers. He can conquer where Jesus Christ has not been preached before. He can conquer those things. Now, I promise I'm getting to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's choose wisely and carefully how we choose to use those three things: love, joy, and grace. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, they call it. And it says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It doesn't say I have nothing. It says I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. That's a familiar scripture, Adam. I think I've heard that before. But whether there are prophecies, or whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. Verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love conquers. The greatest of these three things, faith, hope, and love. Those are all three pretty good things. But love is the greatest, it says. That's a whole lot of information. We read what? We read the things that love does or is, and the things that love does not or is not. Mercy, the list. The list of things it does or is. It does suffer. But what does it say? It says it suffers long. It says love is kind. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things. Not some, not most. It bears all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. Now the list that it does and does not do, or is, I'm sorry, that it does not do or is not, said love does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not think evil. And it does not rejoice in iniquity. Love never fails. Man fails love. That's why sometimes we think love. Who needs it? We all need it. We all need the love of Christ and the love of our fellow man. Now verses 8 through 13 says love never fails. And it says where there are these other things, it will fail. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, but as a man, I had to change my ways. I had to get on to different things. It's time to grow up and step up. It's time to start loving others. Time to leave that church. They want us to love our enemies. Hopefully any church out there is teaching and preaching the same thing. But it's time to start loving others. The Bible tells us it's easy to love the lovable. We have to learn to love the unlovable. Those that are different, those that think differently than us. Love conquers. By the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at those first two words in chapter 14, verse 1. And it says, pursue love. What is that? That's a continuation of love. Love conquering. As Christians, if we just say, I've got the love of Christ in me, woohoo, I'm done. And sit back, we're not done. We can't be done. Pursue love. What does that mean? That means chase it. That means go after it. Do everything you can to possess it, to have it, to own it. Love enables us to forgive others. Adam, I kind of enjoy hanging on to that hatred for them. That hurt that they bestowed upon me. Love enables us to forgive others. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus is on the cross. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read one verse. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Jesus is hanging in between two thieves on the cross. And he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them. Why? For they know not what they do. Jesus, in his final moments, gave us an example. He demonstrated his love for us while on the cross, being mocked, after being beaten. He was after his Father's will. When he prayed in the garden, Father, if there's any way this cup can pass. Yet crucified on the cross, he said, forgive them. I think it's fair to say they were his enemies. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And quite frankly, even if they did know what they do, I think he still would ask his Father to forgive them, because they did it in ignorance. He demonstrated his love to his neighbor, to his enemy, in the form of forgiveness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, but the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious. He said, be serious, we better pay attention. Be serious and watchful. Where and when? In your prayers. Wait a minute, I've got to be careful. Praying, is that not just me having a conversation? Be careful, be watchful, and be serious in your prayers. But it says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For who? For one another. Why? Why do we need to have that fervent love for one another? It says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Amen? Our love for one another allows and enables us the freedom to love people in spite of their sin or their shortcomings. Which, by the way, we all have. You know, in Zephaniah, a month ago, I read this as part of my message and part of my studies. I was going through that, and I thought, I wanted to change. I wanted to end with this. We're going to have a baby dedication in just a minute here. And I know this is a short message. I think when you talk about the love of Jesus Christ, it doesn't necessarily need to be long. Love one another. Love your enemy. He says, love as I have loved you. But in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says this. It says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let your hand not be weak. Why? The Lord your God is in your midst. Church, we need to know that. He's our God. He's our Lord. And he's in where? Our midst. He's in the middle of us. And anything we are going through, he is in the middle of it. We sang Mighty to Save. And it says the Mighty One will save. Thus the song. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. But listen to this line. He will quiet you with his love. And that stirred in me for the last couple months as I was reading and studying this. And it just kept stirring in me and stirring in me and stirring in me. And I thought, I believe God's love through each one of us will quiet us. Our unrest, our fear that we're going through, Our tongue, that untamable tongue, that's another message. It says, He will quiet you with His love. You know, we read earlier about, or we talked earlier about the spoken word. And the spoken word to me is the same when it's written. I don't care if it's Instagram, Facebook, emails, text messages, whatever it is. The word is there. But I ask today, church, that we allow God's love to quiet us, to heal us, to calm us, to comfort us, to give us peace, joy. His love, when we express that to others, that's a reflection. He loves us. We are to be a mirror image of Him and reflect that same love back out. And that's hard to do. It is hard to do. But He asks us to do it. And I think sometimes when He says, be serious in your prayers for one another. I think that's in our prayers for ourselves. Oh, every now and then we've got to pray for ourselves. Lord, would You please fix them? I've told you many times. I listened to this guy on the radio day in and day out talking about loving Christ and being a better person. I thought, oh, my wife, Cindy, you've got to hear this. Till one day he said, got newsflash for you, Adam. It's not for her. This is for you, buddy. And it was humbling. And I called her crying. And I asked for forgiveness as a man. I just wanted you to get better and change. Why? So you can deal with me, the same old me? Whew. Thank God He's doing a work in both our lives and an amazing work. And God is good. God is good. But we've got to pray for Him to heal us and endeavor in our lives to allow love to conquer. I purposefully did not put anything after that. Love conquers what? All? You fill in the blank. Love conquers. What does it need to conquer in your life today? When people ask what love conquers, tell them, hey, how it happens is by this. Love is spoken here. Joy is chosen here. Grace is given here. Today, as we prepare to change the order of service for our baby dedication that I hope I can get through since it's my grandson, we're going to do that in just a moment here. By the way, church, you have a part in that as well. So we'll get ready for that. As we prepare to change the order of service, as the parents and grandparents and family come forward, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the word today. We ask You today just to continue to show Yourself strong in our lives. Lord, we ask You just to be with us today. Lord, we ask that love will conquer everything that we set our mind to, everything that we put our heart to. Heavenly Father, we know love is difficult at times. But we pray today that we can feel Your love. We can reflect Your love where we need to heal and change. That You will make that happen through Your grace and mercy towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right. Come on in here, Tim. I'm going to have you two swap places real quick. There's no thing, just an order that we have there. All right. Uh-oh, baby's all over here. Getting excited. They're seeing one of their own getting dedicated, so that's exciting news. Man, well, what a great day this is. What a joyous day this is. You know, when we dedicate children, whether it's a baptism or dedication, we're dedicating them to the Lord, and it's an exciting day. Oh, mercy, that's why you brought the bottle. Okay, and we never know what the children are going to do, so that's all right. Well, standing before us, we have three generations here, which is a powerful statement and a powerful thing to have three generations. And it's an exciting thing. Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are a crown to the aged and parent are the pride of children, and parents are the pride of children. Tim and Cherie and Cindy and myself as well, we all know how much. Chesney, you too, this is a grandparent thing, though I'm mentioning, so I don't mean to leave you out there. But we know, we just know how exciting this time is. We know how much love that we have for this child, for Atlas. We're excited today. Austin and Michaela, we trust that the step of faith you're taking today will make Atlas one day proud of your actions as well here at church. Children are a gift from God, and Psalm 127 verse 3 proclaims that sons are a heritage from the Lord and children a reward from Him. As believers, we're called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. Amen? They belong to God and they are God's. God, in His goodness, gives children as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. There's two very deep things, responsibility, and then there's a privilege that we have. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it's only proper and appropriate that children are dedicated back to God. We're told in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. And in Luke 2, verse 22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. And in the same way, Austin and Michaela today bring their son Atlas Mark Dilley, presenting first themselves and then their son before the Lord our God. You know, love conquers. And today, what a beautiful day it is to celebrate the conquering power of Jesus Christ and His love. Accompanying them in making this commitment and witnessing this as well are grandparents Tim and Cherie Wilhite, Cindy Dilley, myself, Chesney. All right, good to have you with us. Austin and Michaela, I call your attention to the commands of God recorded in Holy Scripture in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 7. And it tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road." You could be walking along the road. "When you lie down and when you get up." Ephesians 6:4 also says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." That goes for both of us, Austin. "Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord." God's instructions are plain. Austin and Michaela, love God with every ounce and fiber of your energy and teach Atlas to do the same. As you love God, you will model before Atlas a wonderful love for God that he will want for himself as well. Austin and Michaela, by coming forward before God and his people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your son, Atlas Mark Dilley, to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." Having come freely, and not forced by the way, having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and His people, so that Atlas Mark Dilley may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you, Austin and Michaela, vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide Atlas a Christian environment of love and peace, to raise him in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage him to one day trust Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." Finally, I ask the church that you make a vow as well. There's an old proverb that says, it takes a village to raise a child. Parents have first responsibility, but parents need the help and support of the community. So I direct my questions now to the church, and by being present today in God's house, you hereby declare yourselves to be children of God because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. If this is true, church, please respond by saying, "We do." Would you please stand at this time? Having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you, so that Atlas Mark Dilley may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you, church, vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ? I got two more paragraphs. I'm almost done. Austin said, "Come on, you can do it." You promised to help. these beautiful children, Austin and Michaela, be faithful to God, to help teach, train Atlas in the ways of the Lord, so that he might one day trust him as Savior and Lord. If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do." Whew. That's just tough stuff. Here, I got this, son. Give me just a moment, church. I will gather myself together. Time to hand the child to the pastor. Yep. Better keep that. He's enjoying that too much. To not have that. Yeah, I know. You got to hold that for a minute. Sorry, I'm going to need some oil here. Thank you. Yeah, don't take the bottle from the baby, right? All right, church, would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today rejoicing in this wonderful gift you have given by your grace. We humbly come before you asking your blessing on the small child of God and his parents and grandparents and church. Lord, as Christians, that they understand their responsibility above all others in raising this child in a Christian environment, teaching him your statutes and your ways. May the church also understand its responsibility in supporting this child and his parents in this endeavor. Bless him and keep him in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.